Welcome to Torah Yemecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rena Foreman, and today we will begin our study of the second half of Sefer Kohelet. Let's delve into Perek Zayin. As we enter Chapter 7 of Kohelet, we're crossing one of the most significant divides of the entire Sefer. Remember, Perek Vav ended with the only stuma, the only closed paragraph signified by the letter Samach in all of Kohelet. This means the entire book has just two sections, chapters 1 through 6, and everything that follows. That stuma represented a complete intellectual surrender. Shlomo had reached absolute breakdown. Mi yodea ma tov la'adam, who knows what is good for man? He was stuck, completely stuck, unable to guide anyone about how to live in a world where nothing lasts, where life is unfair, where even wealth and longevity fail to satisfy the nefesh. You can eat with your mouth, but the esophagus doesn't lead to the soul, only to the stomach. And the soul, the nefesh, is not full. But sometimes hitting absolute rock bottom isn't the end. It's the prerequisite for breakthrough. When every conventional wisdom has been exhausted, perhaps that's when real innovation can begin. And that's exactly what happens in Perek Zayin. Shlomo emerges from this stuma with something he's actually never tried before. Systematic experimentation with Tov, with goodness itself. Beginning with the verse Pasuk, Tov Shem Mishemen Tov, better a name than good oil. V'yom ha-mavet miyom ha-hivaldo, on the day of death, better than the day of birth. Notice what's happened here. After six chapters of discovering what doesn't work, pleasure, wisdom, work, wealth, Shlomo is now experimenting with what might actually work. This entire chapter will be structured around Tov statements. Each pretty much has the structure, better is X, then Y. Starting off with that first pasuk, better a name than good oil. Shemen Tov, precious oil, that was one of the most valuable commodities in the ancient world. It was something that gives energy and light. But Shem Tov, a good name, a good reputation, Shlomo says, is even better. Why? Here's Shlomo's insight. Instead of constantly chasing after what you think is tov, pleasurable, and desirable for yourself, concentrate on being a good friend to others. Build a shem tov through dependable relationships, through being someone others can count on. And thus leads, perhaps, to the most shocking statement of all. Better yom ha-mavet mi yom hivaldo, day of death better than the day of birth, which of course sounds pretty morbid at face value. And how can death be better than birth? Well, here's what Shlomo is driving at. At birth, you don't know who you are. You're all potential, no actual achievement. But at death, if you've built a shem tov, you know who you are. Sure, you're gone. You've left the world physically, but your name, your legacy, shines through in the souls you've touched along the way. Your positive impact actually outlasts the biological existence. And that really is tov. That's good. So for the first time in Kohelet, we're seeing something that might actually answer the fundamental challenge that Shlomo framed earlier. Remember earlier in Perek Aleph, Ma Yitron La'Adam B'Chol Amalo, what advantage is there for Adam, for man, in all of his toil? The advantage, from the vantage point of Perek Zayin, might be Shem Tov, a legacy of relationships that transcends mortality. And in that light, Shlomo continues, Tov lalechet el beit avel, milechet el beit mishteh. Better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, of celebration. And now Shlomo explains the psychology behind that. Ba'asher sof kol ha'adam. That is the end of all mankind. The house of mourning forces us to confront reality. Va'chai yitenu libo, and the living will lay it to heart. This confrontation with mortality, this understanding lave, clarifies life's priorities. When you truly internalize sof kol ha'adam, this is, man doesn't last forever, you stop pursuing things that won't outlast you, and you start pursuing things that will. And this can set the stage for you to develop the emotional depth needed to be a genuine friend to others. And this theme of emotional depth versus superficiality is developed in the next psukim. Shlomo shows us why confronting mortality actually enables a shem tov. Why it enables a good name. He continues in Pasuk Gimel, Tov ka'as mischok. Better is sorrow than laughter. because genuine anguish is more real and can uplift the heart. Lev Chachamim Beveit Avel, back to the house of mourning. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. They understand what really matters. Better to hear Ga'ara Chacham, the rebuke of the wise, than a Shir Ksilim, than the song of fools, because criticism from those who see clearly enables character growth, while fool's laughter is just Kekol Hasirim Tachat Hasir, like crackling thorns under a pot, loud, but providing no lasting heat. And all this builds toward the practical wisdom needed for a Shem Tov, starting Pasuk Zion, verse 7. Here Shlomo gives us a series of practical insights for building a Shem Tov. The key breakthrough comes in Pasuk Chet. Tov Erech Ruach Migvah Ruach. Better is patience than pride. Erech Ruach, literally, long of spirit, is in a sense horizontal, suggesting a relationship, connection, taking time with others. Gevah Ruach, literally gevah, height of spirit, is vertical, visually, suggesting hierarchy, looking down on others. What do people really want from us? Shlomo says. What builds Shem Tov? Erech Ruach, patience. Being there for the long game. When we give people time, when we listen, when we don't rush them, that's what they remember. Children want Erech Ruach from their parents. Friends want the willingness to work through difficulties. Gevah Ruach, that destroys relationships, whereas Erech Ruach builds them. Shlomo also warns us not to be quick to anger and not to fall into nostalgia for the past, which would prevent us from building relationships in the present. But at the same time, Shlomo introduces a crucial warning about the challenges of maintaining this approach. If you look back in Pasuk Zion, in verse 7, Ki ha'oshek yeholel chacham, oppression makes the wise man foolish. Even the chacham who understands these principles can be corrupted. V'yabed et lev matana, and a bribe can destroy the heart. The very lev that was being made good can be destroyed through greed or temptations of power. And after all these practical insights, Shlomo returns to theological reality, starting in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Re'e et ma'aseh Elokim, consider the work of God. Ki mi yuchal letaken et asher yivto, who can make straight what he, God, has made crooked? There are fundamental limitations built into the system, Shlomo says. Some crookedness can't be straightened by human effort. B'yom tova heya betov. So in the day of prosperity, the day when things are going well, be joyful. Uv'yom ra'a, and in the day of adversity, when things don't go so well, re'e gam et seh, consider this as well. Seh, accept that there will be good times and bad times. Gam et seh l'umat seh asah Elokim. God has made both. This unpredictability maintains the tension necessary for faith and for building Shem Tov without trying to game the system. And now comes one of Shlomo's most important psychological insights about the dangers that prevent Shem Tov. Ekol ra'iti b'imei hevli. Shlomo says, I've seen everything in the days of my vanity and my days of futility. Yesh tzadik avad b'tzidko. There's a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness. V'yesh rasha ma'arich barato. And there's those wicked people whose life is prolonged while they continue to be wicked. Even in an unfair world, the tzadik v'ra'ala rasha v'tovlo problem from Parak Aleph, good things happen to bad people, bad things happen to good people. Shem Tov remains possible. You can still transcend with a good lasting name, but there's a psychological trap that prevents it. Al tehi tzadik harbe, don't be overly righteous. Al tit chacham yoter, and don't make yourself too wise. Lama teshomim, because why should you destroy yourself? Al tarsha harbe, don't be overly wicked. Al tehi sachal, and don't be a fool. Lama tamut below itecha, why should you die before your time? Here's the trap. See yourself in black and white terms, either as completely righteous, tzadik harbe, or tushar harbe, completely wicked. Both paths lead to disaster. Al tehi tzadik harbe, do not be overly righteous. If you think you need to become perfect, tzadik harbe, you'll know you're not there yet, and you'll end up disliking yourself, believing you were wicked because you didn't achieve perfection. and the self-hatred makes building genuine friendships impossible. Altar Shahar Bey, but don't be overly wicked. Similarly, if you see yourself as completely wicked, you'll spiral downward with no motivation to be trustworthy or kind. Tov Asher Tochaz, Kohelet says, Tov Asher Tochaz Bazeh V'gamizeh Al Tanach Yadecha. So it's good that you should take hold of this, and V'gamizeh, also don't withdraw your hand from Al Tanach Yadecha, don't withdraw your hand from the other, Ki Yirei Elokim Yetzei Et Kulam, because he who fears God will come forth from them all. Try to find a balance. Don't get black and white in your thinking. Don't consider yourself either a wicked person or a perfectly righteous person. Yirei Elokim, holding that balance, from this is where Yirat Elokim can emerge. The next several psukim reinforce why this balanced self-perception is so crucial. Hachachma ta'oz l'chacham mi'asara shlitim. Wisdom strengthens the wise man more than 10 rulers. Why? Because wisdom can help you maintain a realistic self-perception. Ki adam ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov lo yachtav. There is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. There's no such thing as a person who never makes mistakes. You need to disabuse yourself of the idea that you can ever achieve perfection or that God expects you to. Shlomo also tells us to develop a thick skin. Al titein libcha. Don't pay attention to every critical word you hear. Because you've criticized others too. This prevents the spiral into either self-hatred or self-righteousness. And now Shlomo gets personal. He reveals his personal struggle with these insights. All this, he says, I've tested it all out with my wisdom. And we know Shlomo was granted his wisdom back in Sefer Malachim. He says, Amarti achakma. Shlomo says, I thought to myself, I'll be wise. But his answers were far from me. He says, despite all his insights, Shlomo speaks from personal experience. I believed that wisdom would protect me from these failures of imagination and identity crises. But it's not easy. I still find myself drifting toward extremes, despite knowing how dangerous that is. I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets. Asurim yadav's hands are fetters. This passage requires careful handling. In context, Shlomo is describing a specific psychological trap related to maintaining balanced self-perception. The most devastating challenge isn't from servants or distant critics, it's from those closest to you, especially wives, who have too much passion and subjectivity to see the nuances about you. Her heart becomes like hunting equipment when she sees you as either all good or all bad, never as the complex middle path person you're trying to be. Even among all his 1,000 wives, tragically, no one could see Shlomo for who he was. They perceived him as either completely righteous or entirely wicked, never as someone navigating the realistic middle ground. And then he says, Re'eza matzati amra kohelet achat la'achat imso cheshbon. Through systematic investigation, he says, I found one person out of 1,000 who could maintain this balanced perception. But v'isha b'chol eila lo matzati. But among all his relationships with women, many of them, 1,000 wives, no one could see him this way. And this actually echoes Adam's experience in reverse. Remember Adam went through all the animals? That same word matzah, lo matzah. Ezer Kenegdo. He did not find a helper corresponding to him. He did not find an Ezer Kenegdo. Only when God created Isha, only when he created a woman, did he find his true companion. That same word matzah again. Here, Shlomo describes the opposite experience. Despite access to many relationships, he lo matzah. He did not find that kind of balanced perception in a world corrupted by the consequences of the Tree of Knowledge. And this leads to Shlomo's fundamental discovery. Levad re'eza matzati. He says, behold, this is alone I have found. Asher asah Elokim et ha'adam yashar. God made man upright, simple. V'hema b'kshu chashbonot rabim. But humans have sought many calculations, many complicated schemes. Simi reference to the human pull of trying to categorize themselves and others as either completely righteous or completely wicked. And this brings us full circle to the Tree of Knowledge. Ha'adam was created yashar. but chose complexity over simple obedience. The result has been the world Takan HaShemesh, where even those closest to us struggle to see us simply human, flawed but trying, neither perfectly righteous nor perfectly wicked. But here's the remarkable breakthrough. Perek Zayin represents Shlomo's first genuine progress after six chapters of dead ends. Shem Tov works, imperfectly, but genuinely. A good name transcends the limitations of Takan HaShemesh. It can make Yom HaMavet, the day of death, better than Yom Hivaldo, the day of birth, because your positive impact outlasts your biological existence. It's built through Erech Ruach, patience with others, rather than Gvar Ruach, arrogance. It requires balanced self-perception, seeing yourself as Yashar, upright but imperfect, neither perfectly righteous nor perfectly wicked. Instead of amassing things for yourself and struggling to figure out how to fill your soul in this world, concentrate on being a good friend to others. You'll end your life with a real sense of satisfaction, Shlomo says. And paradoxically, when you cease to exist, your name will endure, a form of presence that lasts beyond your short life and contributes to a sense of permanence. It's the way out of Hevel. The Tov experiments of Perek Zayin haven't solved everything, but they have broken through the complete despair of Perek Vav's Stuma. Shlomo is no longer stuck. He's found a direction, a pathway that offers genuine hope even in a Hevel world. And this sets up everything that follows in the remaining Perkim of Kohelet. Having discovered that Shem Tov actually can work, imperfectly but genuinely, Shlomo can now build on this foundation. The complete intellectual breakdown has given way to tentative but real progress. Sometimes the deepest wisdom begins not with answers, but with honest acknowledgement of how little we know. Chapter 7 shows us that even in that acknowledgement, perhaps especially in that acknowledgement, Tov can emerge. Better things are possible, even Tachat HaShemesh, even in this earthly world, under the sun. That alone might be enough to make Yom HaMavet better than Yom Hivaldo. If we use our lives to build Shem Tov, that outlasts our temporary existence under the sun. Today's study is dedicated by Helen and Moshe Sassover in memory of their beloved father and grandfather, Ted Ordon, Mordechai Ben Ephraim, and Miriam Golda, in commemoration of his 10th Yortzeit. His family is forever grateful for his devotion to family, vision, courage, and optimism. May the merit of our collective learning elevate his neshama and bring unity and peace to Klal Yisrael. Thank you for the opportunity to study together.